Ryan spotted Dean in the barn's hayloft while he was 60 yards out. The boy had snuggled down in the loose straw there and was nearly invisible in the camouflage he'd chosen. Ryan hadn't even seen a glint of gunmetal in the retiring afternoon sun. Dean gave him a small wave as he got nearer, somehow knowing his father had seen him. Ryan lifted his chin and dropped it quickly, acknowledging the wave. The hayloft was a good choice for posting security. With its back and left side put up nearly against the palisade wall, the only attack that could come from inside the trading post could be covered from the hayloft. The smell of fresh horse dung greeted Ryan as he strode into the barn. He noticed at once that the survivors from the Cold Hearts and Idaho Falls had separated themselves from the companions. Morse and his sons formed another small pocket against the wall opposite the horse paddocks. Elmore was the odd man out, and obviously not happy about it. Jack kept him under guard, the albino sitting back on his haunches, less than 20 feet from him. Christy insisted on helping Ryan and JB with the packages. She looked washed out, thinner than Ryan had ever remembered. Dark circles hung under her emerald eyes. And for the first time since he'd known her, her sentient hair didn't lie neatly in place. The strands were kinked in places and uneven. They passed out the ammo first, then parceled out the new clothing. Afterward, Ryan sat on a small farrier's bench only a few inches off the ground. He stretched his legs out before him, broke open one of the boxes of 9mm ammo, and started filling his extra clips for the Sig Sauer. Christy sat cross-legged across from him. Mildred poured another bucket of water into the horse trough she'd selected to use as a bath. She'd laid a fire along one side of it, burned down to coals, so the heat would be there without an abundance of flames.
I filled it, so I get the first one.
No one argued with her. JB took the bucket from her hands.
I'll finish filling if you want to get in.
Mildred started stripping. The horse trough was partially shielded from view in one of the paddocks, out of sight of the Idaho Falls people. When she was naked, she stepped into the water, lying back gingerly before fully immersing herself.
Don't bring that water on too fast, John. Water's feeling just short of too hot, and after all this traveling, I don't want to miss out on it.
JB dipped his fingers into the bucket and tasted them.
Well, water. Heavy mineral content. And cold as a gaudy slut's heart in January.
It's not coming in off the river, then.
Means they tapped an underground stream feeding into the river.
And in more than one place, because I'm sure there's at least one or two other hand pumps located in the main house. No shortage of water. They could seal themselves off from the rest of the world for months.
As long as the walls held. And they look like they'd hold.
Yeah. Makes me wonder if that's why Annie's mystery guest is here, taking up both guest houses.
You look worried, lover. What are you thinking about?
Staying or going? Trying to figure out which would be less likely to get us chilled. They didn't take any Jack for these supplies. Said we'd settle up later.
Jack and Dean ran a head count on the people here at the trading post. Besides Annie and her son, there's nearly 30 other men and women here.
Where are they put up?
In the guest houses.
Any sign of the main guest?
No.
How good a look did you get at those men in the guest house?
30, 40 feet. Could see plain enough.
Sec men?
Move like them. Got organization. Got a man chicken post, regular.
Any markings?
Stripped clean. Saw places where maybe had them before.
Ryan thought about that. It wasn't unusual for a sec force to have markings to identify itself in a more heavily populated ville.
Means the honcho of this group could be a baron. You sensing anything about these guests, Christy?
No, but I'm not exactly in top condition for that right now.
How's your head?
It still hurts, lover. I can still feel Florin crawling around back there. Every now and then I can hear her voice. But I think I'm getting better at blocking her out.
Ryan could see the effort was quickly sapping Christy's strength. He and Mildred had decided that any attempt at exorcism would have to be postponed, given the uncertainty of their situation at the fort.
We could leave at dusk. That's not more than a couple hours away.
Sky's darkening up. The old woman was right about the storm coming. And we have no way of knowing when Doc's going to make it back.
Do you think that woman's holding him hostage?
Maybe.
If she's doing it to keep us here, then why?
They have 30 blasters. We make another 7. Upscaling their forces by 25%. That's reason enough.
Almost 40 weapons. What can they be up against?
I don't know. But I get the feeling we're going to find out soon enough.
Awake! Awake! Ring the alarm bell! Murder and treason! Banquo and Donalbain! Malcolm, awake! Shake off this downy sleep, death's counterfeit, and look on death itself. Up, up, and see the great doom's image. Malcolm, Banquo, as from your graves rise up and walk like sprites to countenance this horror. Ring the bell!
Maybe this could be a good resting point, Theophilus.
Madam, I assure you that my reading voice is as strong as ever.
Your voice is good and strong and vibrant, and I'm enjoying the story, but you've interested me in other things as well.
Pray tell, what other things, dear lady?
I thought we might start with a bath.
Well, I see. Yes.
Unless you're not up to such playing.
Dear lady, I am flattered by your offer, truly.
You trying to tell me you're not interested? I know I don't look the way I did when I was a girl, but I thought I could still turn a man's head.
Placing the book on the table, Doc hesitantly reached out for Annie's work-roughened hands. He smiled reassuringly at her, surprised at the thin threads of insecurity in her eyes.
You do turn my head, Annie. And do not let this snow on the mountain fool you. There is still a fire down below.
Maybe you'd like to prove that.
Doc lifted a hand and ran the backs of his fingers along the side of her face, coming in toward her eye. Her flesh felt hot against his.
You have strong cheekbones and a fine face, lips that are full, as well as full of promise.
I've lived a lot of hard years. They show.
All the years that are left to any of us are hard. You will feel better after that bath.
I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not in the habit of offering myself to just any man that comes along. Maybe I'm even making a fool of myself with you. Could be you'll get me off to myself and slip a knife blade between my ribs.
Hardly.
I have my own reasons for my generosity, for opening the trading post and its store to you and your friends.
My companions and I are already aware of that.
Damn me if I know what makes you so different than all the other men I've seen.
I shan't argue your judgment.
So, you think you'd really like to have that bath with me?
At the moment, dear lady, I can think of nothing more that I'd want to do.
Then come with me.
Madam, I have every intention of doing just that.
Ryan joined Dean in the hayloft. The boy kept his Browning high power in his fist. Ryan stared down into the inner courtyards of the trading post. The Sekhmen floated in loose, easy circles on the elevated boardwalk built on the palisade walls.
Anything?
They keep moving around, but mainly they're just checking the perimeter, keeping things buttoned down. Guys act like they're on condition red.
Uh-huh.
It would be better if we could just get out of here now.
Yeah.
Can't do that without Doc, though. And I don't think Christie's up to traveling tonight if the river's gonna be rough.
You're right.
Ryan glanced back inside the barn. Christie was in the horse trough below, soaking in the water. Morse's oldest boy had gotten up from the place where he'd been sitting and was casually making his way around the barn's interior. His path was gradually bringing him closer to the stall where Christie bathed in the trough. Ryan signaled, catching Jack's eye. Jack cut his gaze to the approaching Morse boy. He slipped one of his leaf-bladed throwing knives from inside his clothing. With a quick flick, still from a seated position, he threw it at the Morse boy. Bud raised a hand to his face. His fingers came away bloody. Morse jumped to his feet. He grabbed his boy when he came close enough, peering in consternation at the wound. Maybe a quarter inch of the boy's nose had been removed at the end of his face, sliced cleanly, giving it a whole new tilt. Morse looked up toward Ryan in rage.
Carter, what the fuck's going on?
Your boy's nose was getting too long for his own good. Took a bit of it off for him.
You had no call to do that!
The boy's eyes were wandering too much. I could have taken those out instead of a bit of his nose.
Sandy, go grab some rags and a bucket of water.
Use some kerosene on his nose. You don't want infection to set in. His face will rot off if you're not careful.
Morse didn't say another word, but glowered at Ryan as he led Bud out of the barn. Finished with her bath, and maybe self-conscious because she figured out what the event had initiated, Christie got out of the trough, dried herself, and dressed.
Ryan.
Be there in a little bit. I want to take a look around first. Dean, you go on down and get a bath.
I don't need a bath.
Go on, and make sure you get clean.
No longer worried about being spotted by the Sekhmen roving through the trading post, Ryan stepped out of the hayloft and grabbed the outer edge of the roof. He pulled himself up onto it with a smooth roll of muscle. Gaining his feet, he carefully moved across the sharply slanted roof. In winter, the slant would aid in keeping snow off the roof, but now it made the way treacherous. Still, the roof got him close enough to the boardwalk around the interior of the palisade fence to jump the distance. Ryan landed hard, one hand still clutching the stire. He kept walking toward the riverside of the trading post, knowing he'd drawn the attention of the roving Sekhmen. When he reached the palisade wall, he peered down. The river had swollen a lot more since they'd arrived at the trading post. The water level was now up high enough to run over the top of the pier, spilling white-capped runnels across the surface like a spider web. The boat yanked at her mooring lines at anchor, bucking restlessly like a live thing in a trap as it sought to follow the river's course. Getting away from the trading post by boat was out of the question, Ryan knew. Even if Juni survived the effort, there was no guarantee that they would be able to stay aboard and work the sails. He turned away from the river and made his way back to the barn. He wondered what was keeping Doc. Annie's quarters inside the main house included a huge bathroom with a large tub. The walls maintained the same wooden finish as the rest of the house, but here scented cedars had been used, creating an atmosphere that was immediately different than the rest of the house. Doc noticed the carvings made into the wood. They were meticulously done, displaying forest scenes from rough and rugged country. There were snow-capped mountains and dog sleds, small cabins, and lonely campfires. He ran his fingers along the edges, amazed at the obsession to detail. The tub had been crafted of colorful ceramic tiles no bigger than 2-inch squares, some of them broken and chipped to create the contours for the corners. The tub was over 3 feet deep and over 9 feet across.
Those carvings you're looking at? My tribute to the stories by Jack London. During the winters when trading's down and there's not too much to occupy my attention here, I'll work on it.
Dear lady, this is truly fabulous.
My husband considered those a waste of time. Outside of Max and Jubal, less than a handful of people have seen this room. Water temperature okay?
Near perfection.
Good. Because we don't want any shrinkage, do we?
Doc grinned, even more amused to see the red flush creeping into Annie's features. She broke eye contact with him self-consciously.
Sorry about that. Maybe joking wasn't exactly called for.
Nonsense. Laughter is the very essence of life. We could never have too much of that.
Not much left in the world these days.
It only makes you enjoy it the more.
You have a strange way of looking at things. Not like any man I've encountered before. You're more of a dreamer, Theophilus.
Sometimes I'm too much of a dreamer.
One of these days, I'd like to hear about those dreams.
Those dreams, madam, are too often filled less with laughter than sadness. You might not like hearing about them.
You're nursing old wounds.
I would say that anyone who attained our age has more than a few regrets and disappointments.
And tragedies, like the one Shakespeare wrote about?
Those two.
Annie crossed the distance between them and took Doc into her strong arms. Then she placed a hand on his manhood and stroked his erection. The pressure against his groin surprised Doc, because he hadn't noticed exactly when the erection had sprung into being. The aroma of the cedar in the wet environment had grown stronger, flooding his senses. He bent his head and crushed his lips against hers, tasting the honey tea on her breath. Despite the age and the extra pounds, Annie maintained a womanly figure. Her breasts were larger than Doc had expected, capped with brown nipples too big for him to encircle between his thumb and forefinger. He bent his head to them, taking the first into his mouth. He tasted the perspiration that clung to her, the saltiness on his tongue mixed in with some kind of herbal scent. Her nipple came erect at once, and her pleasure took her. He nibbled at both her breasts, noting the scarlet flush that crept under her skin. She held him tightly, pulling his mouth against her breast. His hand crept down, slipping between her thighs. At first, she tried to block his progress.
Can't. You touch me there, and I'm going to go off. Been too long since the last time. And I don't remember a touch ever being so gentle.
Good. But if you do, do not worry about it. There will be other times.
Are you sure? I don't want to waste this one that's building.
I'm sure, dear lady. We have only just begun.
Her thighs parted, allowing him to touch her inner recesses.
Are you all right?
More right than I've felt in a long time.
Annie's hand dropped to Doc's erection. Doc's response came unbidden. Still, he managed to hold himself back. He breathed in the scent of a woman's sex between them, discovering that the scent of cedars might have been a kind of aphrodisiac. He gently disengaged her hand.
Am I doing something wrong?
No, dear lady. But I must insist on a modicum of control from myself. I am no teenage boy on a lark. Together, we'll build your desire, then we'll find mine.
I'm afraid I'm through.
You may not realize it, but you've only just begun.
Doc pulled Annie to him.